chapter 2. Let me read these three verses, and I hope to try to now deal with the latter part, verse 10 in particular. Ephesians chapter 2, where Paul writes, "For by grace are you saved through faith." And let us, by God's grace, always remember that. For by grace are you saved through faith. We dare not switch that around.
Exactly.
That may seem simple enough to us, but to most folks, not only does it not matter, but they actually think in different terms. They think, for by faith are you saved through grace.
Right.
That's not the teaching of Scripture.
Exactly.
It's not just not the teaching of this verse. It's not the teaching of Scripture. For by grace are you saved through faith. And then Paul, through the inspiration of the Spirit of God, even makes it clearer, and that not of yourselves. That is the grace,
exactly,
the faith, or the salvation.
Exactly.
It's not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. And notice the negative, not of works.
Amen.
And you see, most people, when they think of that, they think, well, it's not of singing in the choir. I say most. Maybe I shouldn't even say most. But there are those who, not of work, you don't, it's not, you can sing in the choir. It's not soul winning. You know, it's not all of these good works. But here the word is not of good works. It's not of works. In other words, it has nothing to do with human effort.
Yes.
That's what he's talking about. Most people, when they read that, they think of, you know, religious works, good works, trying to keep the law. Or, as you pointed out, from their perspective, keeping the law. But what Paul is saying is, there is nothing that a man can do to get God to show him grace.
Amen.
That's what he's saying.
Amen.
There is no effort. There is nothing that you can think, say, or do that will cause God to give grace.
Amen.
Not of works. Why? Lest any man should boast. God will not share any of his glory. I'm reminded of a quote I heard from a person who was quoting John Wesley, who said that salvation, and this is, I don't have the quote, but this is, it is, and I read the quote from John Wesley, and he basically put it this way, this is my paraphrase, the salvation by grace through faith is this: God does 99%, you do the other 1%. And most people think, well, that would be giving God the credit. No, God gets all the credit. 100% credit.
Amen.
Why? Lest any man should boast. In other words, God refuses to let any individual boast in his grace.
Exactly.
And this is kind of like Scott Richardson said, kind of like calling water wet, but especially grace in salvation.
Yeah.
But I do agree with Tim James. That's what grace has to do with. Is salvation.
Amen.
And I do agree with Tim James when he says, when he basically said this, you know, I mean, most people think, well, we're reformed, we're that's what we're of the reformed set. Well, the reformers used to talk about common grace. Well, let me just put it this way: there ain't no such thing.
Exactly.
Even in the way that they present it, there is no such grace saves.
Amen.
Period. There is no such thing as common grace. Now, the only common, let's see, I'm going to contradict myself. The only common grace there is the grace of God that saves everyone he saves.
Yeah. Amen.
That's the common grace.
Yeah.
So this is established. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But then the next word is for.
Yeah.
For. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. And what does it say?
Yeah.
Unto good works. Now, not just works, but good works.
Yes, sir.
It's not just effort, but good effort.
Yeah.
That's the whole point here. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in him. And of course, there is a wherefore remember.
Yes, sir.
You know, but I'm not even going to deal with that. Now, faith and good works. Good works foreordained. That's the title to this part of the series. Good works foreordained. Of course, for me, one of the first things that catches my mind and my heart here is good works, right? And the other thing is before ordained, okay? Good works, before ordained. And the third thing is that we should walk in them.
Amen.
Now, I'd be remiss if I didn't remind us of what Earl said. This is not talking about just doing good works or to do a good work.
Exactly.
This is talking about a way of life. A way of, as the word here is, walk. In other words, it signifies a conduct. It signifies the conduct in which we live our lives, that we should walk in them. Let me try to illustrate that. There are times, and I am far more frivolous than you think I am at times. There are times when we are in traffic, and you stop, and there's someone sitting here waiting to get out into traffic, and you'll stop and let that person out. And I'll look at Penny when I let them out, and I say, well, I've done my good work for the day. Now, you may smile, you may laugh at that, but let me tell you, that's the way most people think about the good works that Paul's talking about here.
You're right.
You do two or three works. Well, I've done a couple good works today.
Yeah.
No, Paul says God foreordained that we should what? Walk in them. That is, this is the way in which, and this would be an actual literal translation of the word, it is the way we live or the way we deport ourselves, the way we carry ourselves. It's not just I sing in the choir, so I've done a good work this week. It's not I went out and testified of the gospel to some individual, and I'm not talking about religion now, I didn't say win souls. I said, it's not, well, today I went out and Joe, I got to talk to someone about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. No, it's a way of life
exactly for
you. It's not just I do a couple good things here or there. That has nothing to do with this. This is, as I put it, it's a walk and not a step.
Exactly.
And not a step. It's a walk. My steps at any given time may or may not be good.
Yeah,
you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If you take any certain step of my life, my daily life, my hourly life into an hour, the individual steps may or may not be good. They may be bad. They may be evil. But God's people were before ordained that we should what? Walk in good works. Now, for several years now, and I'm not always very capable at it, one reason I do this is, one, by experience, I learned it, but I was told it by Earl. My purpose, when you're up here preaching, when you're trying to preach and teach other people, my responsibility is not to simply expose error. That is to up here and preach about how everybody else, this is wrong and that's wrong and they believe this wrong and they do this wrong. That's not the purpose. The purpose is to preach the truth of God as it is in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
But in doing that, sometimes you have to mention error to point out the error of the error. But if I only did that, it would be of no value apart from the truth of the Word, what the Word of God says about it. But there are people who say they believe in this. I mean, you know, you got Baptists. They love to quote Ephesians 2, verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves is the gift of God. And then verse 9, not of works lest any man should boast. And they think, yes, that's all grace. They usually don't even believe that. But that's all grace. But now your works, that's up to you. And especially your good works. That's up to you. According to the Apostle Paul, even our good works are not up to us.
Amen.
We don't pick and choose which works we will or will not do. When you do that, Okay? When you try to pick and choose which good works you will or will not do, you can rest assured you're not doing good works.
Exactly.
Because the source then is you.
That's right.
And not God.
Amen.
I don't care what it is. And as we will look at in a little more detail later, remember, our Lord said, this is not a parable. It's an actual, our Lord testified of something that would happen in the future, and he said, in that day, many will say unto me, Lord, Lord, have we not, what? Preached in your name. Now, how can preaching in your name be wrong? And yet our Lord, it winds up by saying, that's a work of iniquity. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. So even David preaching in Christ's name is not necessarily a good work.
Exactly.
Right?
That's it.
Therefore, if you think this part of the series is me going to just lay you out a list of what is good works, I can't do it.
Exactly.
The list of what is good works is in this book.
Yeah.
And it's far too extensive for me to cover. Every epistle deals with what is good and the way we should walk. And it even uses those words. Walk therefore.
Yeah.
Walk this way. Don't walk that way.
Yeah.
Does it not teach that?
Yes, sir.
Now, I know that there are those who suppose because we believe in the free reigning grace of God that we're opposed to good works. I actually think that for some reason.
Yeah.
Maybe it's because I may have said that a time or two. I don't know. The fact is, God's people are not opposed to good works. Scripture says Christ redeemed us unto himself, and we are to be a people, what? Zealous of good works.
Amen.
Now, there are those who say they believe this, but they emphasize this word, should.
Yeah.
Okay, that we should walk in them. So now I'm going to deal with the error, the way some people see this, the way some people teach us. They emphasize the word should. In other words, it doesn't say we will or shall. And you know what? They're right.
Exactly.
They're right. So much so that when it says that we should walk, should and walk is one Greek word.
Yeah.
Okay? They're right on that. They also emphasize that the place that the phrase before ordained is in the sentence. Okay, look at it. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And they say that's true. They say, but it also says, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. But it doesn't say we will or we shall. And they're right. And they say that the before ordained is connected to the should walk, not to the created in Christ Jesus. Do you see what I'm saying? They are right. That is the connection of the words in the sentence. But now, the rest of the story. First of all, good works are, in this verse, directly connected to the creative act of God in Christ.
Yes, sir.
For it says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, what?
Yeah.
Unto good works.
Amen.
So it is connected, even if it is the before ordained, even though it's in the second phrase, good works are still connected to what? The creative act of God.
Amen.
Right?
Yes, sir.
That's clear.
Yeah.
And only an idiot would refuse to acknowledge that. For we are his workmanship. In other words, God made us.
Amen.
We're his workmanship. God formed us. Whatever other word you want to use that testifies to that truth, that gives that principle. God built us,
yeah,
if you want to put it that way. For we are his workmanship. But in a special way here. For we are his workmanship, created where? In Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Unto good works.
Amen.
In other words, as it would be written, strictly this is word for word in the Greek. This is what it says. For his we are. And notice that the Greek puts the emphasis on his. In the English, we read about us first, for we are his workmanship. simply because, David, I guess it didn't flow even in 1611 Elizabethan English. It didn't flow as well. They switched it around. But in the Greek, they're not worried about how it sounds, but what it means.
Yes, sir.
That's what the Greek was based upon. Not just how it sounds, but the actual syntax and meaning of the words. And in the Greek, Paul wrote, "For his we are workmanship."
Yeah.
That is what God made. Created in Christ Jesus for good works. It's not even just unto, but for.
Amen.
Good works. In other words, what we have here is Paul describing cause and effect. And I know I say that over and over. It seems like in many places we go concerning many different areas of Scripture and many different subjects, I talk about cause and effect. But the problem is, most people in religion today have the cart before the horse. They always switch the Scripture around. And there are even those who think the way to gain God's favor, that's His grace, right, is good works. And Paul refutes that. He says it's not so.
Amen.
But he says when God gives you grace, there will be good works.
Amen.
He doesn't say there should be. He said you're created in, you are a creation of God for good works.
Amen.
That's what he says.
Yes, sir.
For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Did he create us for bad works? For evil works? No, for good works. Even James so describes a good work as giving someone your coat if they need it. Right? That's a good work. But he expressly describes it in this way: if a man sees a brother or sister. Because good works always have to do with the family of God. That's where you can do works. You can go out here and feed the poor. That's a work. It may be a beneficial work for humanity, but good works are always concentrated within the family of God. We are created by Him in Christ Jesus unto good works. And the only place, one of the only places that the Scripture ever calls a singular deed done by a person good work, our Lord one time said that a person, this is a good work.
Yeah.
You know what that only time is? Is when that whore had that alabaster box of ointment, which was quite expensive.
Yeah.
And I wonder how she got the money to get that. Well, you go figure it out.
Yeah.
You know how she got that money? By selling her body. But she took that alabaster box of ointment and she anointed Christ for his burial. Before he ever died.
Yes, sir.
And he looked at her and said, "She hath performed a good work," what? "On me."
Amen.
All good works are in Christ Jesus. Outside of Christ Jesus, it's just a work.
Exactly.
No matter how beneficial. And I can say good in a strictly human sense. They are for humanity. Good works are always in Christ Jesus. Amidst and amongst the family of God. Because the Scripture said, if a man provides not for his own household, he's worse than an infidel. And who's your household?
There you go. That's it.
Now most people, when they read that, they think daddy's supposed to take care of the wife and the kids. Well, that's certainly true. But that's not what he's talking about. We take care of one another first. That's what it ought to be. Now, I'm not saying we always do that. That's what it ought to be. In other words, it's cause and effect. We have good works as a result of what God has done. And it's a creative result. You see, if you don't have good works, you're still lost. I don't care who you are or what you profess. I don't care who I am or what I profess. If we don't have good works, we've not yet been created in Christ Jesus.
That's it.
At best.
Yeah.
At best. Why? For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto or for what? Good works.
That's it.
So if God does, if God creates something, what's that thing he created going to do? Good works. And it's going to do every good work God before ordained they should walk in.
Exactly.
Every one of them.
Yes, sir.
Not one of them accepted. In other words, God creates a spiritual person to do spiritual things. God doesn't see most people think, well, God uses people to do good things. No, God creates a spiritual person to do spiritual things. The only thing that is good, there's a good work as defined here, is something that's spiritual. Spiritual. Another way of putting it, God gives a good heart through which good things flow.
Yeah.
Because if you have an action that's not proceeding from a good heart, what kind of action is it?
Yeah.
It's an evil action.
Yeah.
Now let me give you scripture for this one.
Yeah.
Now I could give you scripture for the others, but let's look at it. Matthew chapter 15. Turn there to start with. Our Lord kind of sets the basis here. He gives he lays the groundwork here for it. Matthew 15. Verse 15. Then answered Peter and said to him, declare unto this parable. And Peter's just like us.
Yeah.
He usually think, well, explain that to me.
Exactly.
How many times have I caught myself saying that? But I need that explained to me.
Yeah.
You know why we need that explained to us? Because there's a part of us that's so much opposed to everything about the truth.
Exactly.
We always want to find some out.
Yeah.
The flesh does. It always wants to find some out or some justification in some way.
Amen. Yeah.
And I'll talk about it more later. We love the word but. But there is but. There is one thing conspicuously absent from Ephesians 2 verse 10. There is no but there.
That's right.
If there was a but there, it would be different. For instance, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, but God hath before ordained that we should walk in them.
Yeah.
Now, it's not what it says, though, is it? But most people, when they see this or think about this truth, they put their but in it.
Exactly.
And you can, as Scott Richard said, you can take that any way you want.
That's exactly right.
No, it's not a but. It's a which. Which. But again, he gives a good heart through which flows good things. Matthew 15. And Jesus answered, are ye also yet without understanding? I know there's people that think I'm tough sometimes.
Yeah.
But what did he just say? Peter, what's wrong with you?
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. Okay.
Do ye yet understand? That whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draught.
Yep.
Now, I like this because don't come and tell me and fuss at me about what I eat and how it's bad for me.
Yeah.
Well, but they just didn't understand the science of food. Don't give me all that. Well, it may defy. You may hurt your body and God will be displeased. Just get off your high horse. You want to eat healthy food for your own personal health? Do it. But don't force it on anybody else. You know? Don't try to make it some standard of good.
Exactly.
Some standard of good. Because we are created in Christ Jesus unto good works. But they have a very limited scope. Good works have to do with the family of God, the personal work of Jesus Christ. But look. In other words, what you put in your mouth, your body's going to get rid of. And you say, but you may do something that hurts your body. You're going to die one day. I don't care what you do. And your body's going to rot. And you may have the most healthy body in the world, and God may kill you in a car crash tomorrow. Or God might make you a paraplegic. And all that healthy food you ate will amount to what? Nothing. So that's a sad message. But those things which proceed out of the mouth. So what we say does matter, doesn't it?
Yes, sir.
What you say does matter. Why? Because what you say manifests what you got inside of you.
Exactly.
How you talk manifests what you are inside. Somebody said, but I say things I shouldn't. Yeah, and what you need to acknowledge is what's still in you, the flesh. And acknowledge it for what it is, flesh and corruption and evil, rebellion. Let us not be making excuses for it. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from what? The heart.
Amen.
And they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed, and it's amazing to me, look at it, first, the first thing is evil what?
Yeah.
Thoughts. That's the first thing he mentions.
Yes, sir.
And I don't believe our Lord's like me. A lot of times I think of things, but I have no particular order because I write them down or I say them as I think of them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? When maybe one thing should actually precede another. You understand? But I don't always do that, but our Lord did.
Yeah.
Everything, every word he said had design and purpose behind it.
Yes, sir.
For out of the heart proceed evil, the first thing is what thoughts. My problem is I can't even get past that one.
Exactly.
You know? For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts. This is simply evil thoughts.
Yeah.
Most people think he's talking about deeds here. No, he's still talking about what? Thoughts. These murders, adulteries, fornications. These are explanations of the evil thoughts. Of course, we as men like to divide it down to first degree murder, second degree murder,
yeah.
2.5 degree murder,
yeah. Manslaughter.
4.75 degree murder, manslaughter. And there is some place for some things. There is a difference, even in Scripture,
yeah,
between what we call premeditated murder and manslaughter.
Yeah.
An accident.
Exactly.
You know? All these. But let me tell you, Scripture doesn't boil it down like we do.
Yeah, that's right.
But the whole point here is our Lord is saying our hearts are full of all of these evil thoughts.
Yes, sir.
Which include all these things, right? False witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with, there's the but. See, but. But always emphasizes something different.
Yeah.
It is a qualifier.
Yeah.
Okay? Not an explaining, not an explanatory thing. It's a qualifier. But to eat with unwashing hands defileth not a man. Now, if you'd like to wash your hands, you go right ahead. I do too. I work in a place where I'm washing my hands all the time. But it's not what you put into yourself that hurts you.
Exactly.
And we can take this even further. Mm-hmm. It's not what is out there that is my problem.
No.
It's what's in here that is my problem.
Yes, sir.
That's what our Lord's teaching here.
Yes, sir.
It's not even the devil that's my problem. It's me that is my problem.
Amen.
If me was truly good, Joe, the devil would have nothing in me.
That's right.
Exactly. So that's what Christ said about himself.
Yes, sir.
But he never said it about us.
That's right.
Now, think about that. It's not what's out here that's our problem. What's the problem? It's what's in here. That's what our Lord's established here, right? All right, now let's go to chapter 12. This is something he had said previously, of course. Chapter 12, of course, everybody, when I read this passage, I know everybody's want me to define what the unpardonable sin is. Let me just put it to you this way. It is what it says, blaspheme of the Holy Ghost.
Yeah. Right.
Well, how do I know I haven't committed that? You might not.
You
see, we all want this list. No matter how much we profess to believe in grace, there's a part of us that wants a list so that we can know how far we've gone or not.
Yeah.
Well, I know I'm bad, but have I went that far?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
And as Penny and I were talking this morning, that's why the Scripture calls it faith.
Yeah.
That's why it calls it trust.
Yeah.
Because you've got to lean completely and wholly on God.
Yeah.
Because if he doesn't do it, it won't get done.
Yeah.
It don't matter whether it's just your believing or your good works. Either one, if God don't do it, it won't get done.
Exactly.
See, I'm not talking about we're saved by grace, but then we get our rewards by good works. That's not what I'm preaching. Now let me go back. Verse 31, wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be given forgiven unto men. Now, he doesn't mean all men's going to be forgiven of all things. Now, you could take that way, but we know that's not the preponderant testimony of Mason Scripture or our Lord. He's simply saying, there's all every sin on the face of the earth, there's going to be somebody forgiven of that sin. But there's one sin that has no forgiveness. Right? Look, because he goes on to say they're not even going to be forgiven in this world or the world to come. Okay? Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And I'll tell you the main reason, because Christ didn't die for it.
That's why.
Now our Lord doesn't deal with that here, but that's why. Look, and whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in thee to come. The world is okay, because that's the meaning there. Look, now look at this. Either make a tree good, and what else? And his fruit good. Or else make the tree corrupt, and his fruit corrupt, for a tree is known by his fruit. In other words, you either apple tree or you're not.
Exactly.
Apple trees bring forth what?
Apples.
Amen. You're either a grapevine or you're not.
Yeah.
If you're a briar, what are you?
Yeah.
A briar.
Exactly.
You're not going to bring forth apples.
Nope.
Now look. O generation of vipers, how can ye being evil? Now remember what he goes on to say. How can ye being evil do what?
Yeah.
Speak what? Good thing. You can't even say the right thing, let alone. Now I'm adding this. If you can't even say it, you certainly ain't going to be able to what? Do it.
Right?
O generation of vipers, how can ye being evil speak good things? For out of, and he said, now he's teaching the same truth. For out of the abundance of the heart, what? The mouth speaks. In other words, what we say manifests who we are.
Amen. You're
right.
Now what people want to do is, in other words, I either have to be on one side or the other. Yes. To start with, you are either on one side or the other.
That's true.
Because we are all born a corrupt tree.
That's right.
But when God regenerates and converts a person, he doesn't cause them to cease to be all they were in the flesh. They are now both.
That's right.
And that's what the scripture teaches.
Yes, sir.
That's why I led up to this with part of this truth that I was teaching of flesh and spirit. And remember, flesh and spirit never do what? This.
Exactly.
They always do this. Look at it. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart. Now, let me just stop and sum it all up here, because especially for the sake of time. In other words, I don't care what you do outwardly and how good it looks.
Yeah.
If it's not coming from an inward work of God, it is corrupt. No matter what it is. You can preach in Christ's name. You can do many wonderful works in his name. You can even help other people out and cast devils out of them in his name. And it still all be iniquity.
Exactly.
Now, if you are thinking in your heart and mind, that scares me, then you are in better shape than most folk.
Exactly.
Because it ought to scare you. When I read, and let me just read it. You know the passage. I've done quoted it, but Matthew chapter 7. Where at verse 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, they even call him Lord.
Yes, sir.
Now let's not preach this like this is, well, that's the Arminians, don't you know? It's always easy to point the finger at them. These people call him Lord, and you know, there is no other Greek word here, Joe, that, well, they really didn't know he was Lord. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. That lets me know that there's an aspect of the kingdom of heaven that, yes, future.
Yeah.
That's what this teaches.
Yeah.
I could go into eschatology here, but that's not the point of this message. Yeah. But that's what it says, right? There's a point, there's a an aspect of the kingdom of heaven in which no one is in yet. And that king shall enter in the kingdom of heaven. But he which doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And what is the will? Let me jump ahead now. It is to have your house built upon a rock.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Because there's other people, many, who have houses, but many build it upon the sand. And the only rock in this world that is worth building upon is Christ Jesus the Lord.
Amen.
I don't care whether it's your salvation or your good works. It better be built upon Christ Jesus.
Exactly.
Or it's all corrupt. Either the tree is corrupt or it's good.
Yes, sir.
It don't ever mix. There is no grafting here by God.
No.
Men may graft trees together and do this or that. But our Lord has basically said there is no grafting. God don't take an evil, corrupt tree and then graft in some good. It has to be a what? For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. But what's my problem? My problem, again, is what? In here.
Yeah.
But he said, many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, let me find my spot. Have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils. And in thy name done many wonderful works. And then, he ain't worried about telling them this now.
Yeah.
Then he's going to profess to. Then,
sir.
When it's too late. T-O-O. Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you.
Amen.
Depart from me, what? Ye that work iniquity. So I can't just get up here and give you a list. Here are good works.
Yeah.
And you and I just say, well, let's go out here and do these good works. It may or may not be a good work.
Right. Yeah.
Because it's according to what heart is flowing from.
That's it.
You see? What heart is flowing from. Of course, you're aware of this. Luke chapter 8. I actually mentioned this too. And was, God willing, setting the scene for what we're talking about now. Luke chapter 8, and let me hurry here, verse 8 for the sake of time. Talking about the good seed, verse 8, and other fail on good ground.
Yeah.
The good seed fail on good ground. I will stop and say, the good seed does not make good ground.
Exactly.
That's just the way it is.
Yeah, that's right.
The gospel doesn't make you anything. It is life unto, Joseph said it, life unto what?
Life.
Life. But if you're death, what is it unto you?
Yeah.
Death.
Amen.
The same gospel.
Exactly.
I've heard people preach, well, you preach hell to people who are dead in sins. You preach heaven and, that ain't nothing. Paul's saying the same gospel. It's life unto life, but it's death unto death.
Amen.
The good seed has to fall on what?
Good ground.
See, I cannot perform a good work unless something already is good in me.
Exactly.
Because what flows out of us?
Yeah.
Not just our, even saying it first. It's got to come from a what? A good heart. And other fail on good ground and sprang up and bear fruit in hundredfold. And when he had said these things, he cried. Now notice, it says this. He cried. And it means that. He shouted out loud. And I'm not going to do it here. But you know what? He shouted this, Mason. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear.
That's right.
He said the same thing that he said. It fell on good ground. You know, he's not saying, oh, I hope what I'm saying will give you an ear to hear. No. He says, he that hath ears to hear. Let him hear. Why? Because he's the only one who can.
Amen.
God's got to give you a hearing ear, a seeing eye, and a good heart first before the truth of God will ever be of any spiritual benefit to you. And there are people who hate us because we hold to that firmly and without question. But that's their problem, not mine.
Exactly.
Because that's just the way it is. And then our Lord explains it for us. Doesn't he?
Yes, sir.
You don't have to trust in my explanation.
Yeah.
Let me find it here. Where was I? Verse 15. But that on the good ground are they which in a what? Honest and good heart. Honest and good. Why? Because the honest and good heart admits what the person is in and of themselves. I am corrupt.
Yeah.
My heart by nature is a foul thing.
Yeah.
You see, God doesn't switch me, my old nature, from a thorn bush, Joe, to an apple tree.
Yeah.
I am a thorn bush, and God created an apple tree in me. That's what it created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And let me tell you, that which God created you to be in Christ Jesus cannot but walk in good works.
That's right.
But what you are by nature cannot but walk in corrupt works.
You're right.
It cannot but do it. Either a tree is corrupt or good, one or the other. But he says, but that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, do what?
Yeah.
Keep it.
Yes.
And bring forth fruit. How?
Yeah.
Why? With patience. Why not? If it's just get the fruit out there, then what am I going to be patient for?
Exactly.
Why is there a need for patience? Because you got to wait on God to do it.
That's right.
He's the doer of it. Not us. Bring forth fruit with patience. You see, we are. No, let me go back. What we are by grace in Christ always, always walks in good works. Always. What we are in the flesh never does. One of the first signs of maturity is being able to begin to distinguish between the two. It's one of the first signs of maturity is beginning to be able to distinguish between the two. And when you do, you begin to start trying to justify the flesh. And you acknowledge the flesh for what it is. I'm not saying you totally cease because you're still fallen. But you quit trying to justify the flesh.
Yeah.
But I meant so good by it. It don't make a squat in the wind.
Exactly.
What we meant by it. Unless God Almighty before ordained that that act you did was a good act, it is not a good act.
Amen.
No matter what it is. And I'm going to give you scriptural examples, Lord willing, to show this. But I can get up here and tell you words and read you a verse and explain this word, but one of the best ways to prove the Scripture is by using examples in the Scripture themselves.
Amen.
Because we know what God says about those scriptural examples. I can use myself as an example, but you may or may not know from what part of me it's coming from.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Somebody say, well, you're preaching the gospel, the truth of God this morning. But if I'm doing it out of a sense of pride or whatever it be, Mason, it's still corrupt.
Amen.
Yeah.
It's still corrupt. If I'm doing it this morning because I want you to think I'm smart, if that's the reason, then it's corrupt no matter how truthful the words may be. God may use it to benefit you, but it's still be, what, for me, what? Corrupt. He used Balaam to preach the truth. And the man was an apostate.
Yeah.
Wasn't he?
Yeah.
He knew the truth and then what?
Yeah.
Turned from it.
Exactly.
He knew who God really was.
Yes, sir.
But because of his greed, and that's what the book, the New Testament says, because of his greed, he turned from it.
That's right.
No. The only question is, let me put it concerning this, there's two questions. Does Paul negate the first phrase of verse 10 by the second phrase of verse 10? And that's what I didn't mention to you. There are people who, when they read this, they read but into it.
Yeah.
It doesn't say but, it says which.
Yes.
We are created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God before ordained that we should walk in them. The should is in the subjunctive, which is the mode of possibility. But it's only subjunctive and possible because it was ordained before the world began. It doesn't happen until it happens. You think about this. It's not just we go do a good work. Circumstances and providence has to bring everything into line for it to be a good work.
Exactly.
I don't just go out and decide who I'm going to tell about Jesus. Did you know that? I mean, it's like, how many of you would just go out and decide, I'm going to start teaching jackasses about trigonometry? I'm going to go out here and teach my house pet about trigonometry. How many of you have tried that? Raise your hand. I'm not saying I have, but. Huh? Why wouldn't you do that? It's a waste. It's a waste of time. You see, it's not, I'm going to go out here and tell someone about Jesus. No, it is, oh God, Almighty, when your sovereign purpose all comes to a head, when you see, what is it, Ezekiel's will within a wheel, and it turns all together, then and only then will I do a good work. Everything outside of that is this human effort, no matter what it is. As I said, we will look at examples. Now, I got to hurry on. Did you know? Let me turn to it. Ephesians 2. Now, I'm going to say something that may shock you here. But will you read this? Verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, which God hath before ordained. Yeah, that's wrong. Because it's not before ordained. That's not the word. There are words in the Greek that are the words for ordain, which means to appoint. This ain't that word. It's a totally different word. It's proetomazo. And it means to fit up or to prepare. To prepare, not just to purpose in advance. That's ordained.
Yeah.
To appoint is to prepare, or to not prepare, but to purpose something in advance. This ain't about purposing in advance. It's deeper than that. It's stronger than that. It is to fit up or to prepare in advance.
Yes.
This Greek word is used only one time. Again, there's only two times in the New Testament that this word is used. And guess where it's at? Romans chapter 9. The only two places this Greek word is used in the New Testament. And let me read the verse to you that it's in. Romans chapter 9, and look at Romans 9 and verse 23. Look what it says. Now get the context, verse 20. What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy which he hath? And notice they didn't just say, it's not just ordained. Here they translated it correctly. It's which he hath what? Afore prepared unto glory. In other words, it's fit for it before it even gets there.
Yes, sir.
It's made for it before it even gets there. In other words, it's a reality before the end game's even there. That's the same Greek word Paul uses here. We were created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God Almighty prepared in advance that we should walk in them. That's what it's actually saying. Therefore, it doesn't matter what I think I do that's good. It's only if God prepared it in advance that makes it good.
Amen.
And again, don't sit and try to figure out, was that one good? Was you going to walk in every good work that God ordained for you to walk in or
Amen.
Prepared before? See, the problem is our mind, our flesh, still wants that list.
Yeah.
So that we can make sure we're on the left side or the right side. Let me tell you, God's going to fulfill his purpose in you.
Yes, sir.
In spite of you.
Amen.
And we'll look at examples of even that. Jonah.
Yes, sir.
Well, boy, you better go out here and tell this person about Jesus, because if you refuse, they might go to hell. No, you might end up in a whale's belly.
That's exactly right.
And those people are going to hear the truth.
Yes, sir.
Even if it takes putting you in a whale's belly.
Yeah.
Right? You see, good works are not up to us.
Yeah.
They're up to God.
Exactly.
And you know what? That gives me some peace of mind.
Yes, sir.
If you can get your mind off the list and just rest in God, that he will do what he's purposed to do.
Yeah.
Now the point is, he's going to do what he purposed to do, whether you can rest or not.
Exactly.
But you'll have more rest if you get rid of the list and just trust him.
Amen. That's
it'll benefit you more.
Exactly.
He's going to do what he wants to do.
Yeah.
In spite of you or in spite of me. But we're better off when we can forget all of our what ifs and our lists. And was that right or was this wrong? You know, quit it.
Yeah.
Just go about your everyday life believing God. And that's the best thing I can give you.
Exactly.
That's the best thing I can give you. Father, I pray that you teach us these things, not just as a doctrine, but as a way of life. I ask it in Christ's name. Amen.